So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3. Hiranyakashipu plans. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. It's text number 1. Yeah? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hiranyakashipu Rajan Ajayam Ajramaram Atmanam Apratidvandvam Ekarajam Vyadishala Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Jayam Ajaramaram Atmanam Pratitvandatvam Ekarajam Vyadhit Satam Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Acheyam Acharamaram Atmanam Aprapatiti Dvandvam Ekarajam Vyadit Shatam Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Acheyam Acharamaram Atmanam Pratitvandvam Ekarajam Vyatit Shata Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajam Atmanam apaitit pandvam Ekarajam yatishtam Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Ajayam Acharamaram Atmanam apaitandvam Ekarajam yatisata Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Ajayam Acharamaram Manam Ishvitam Hiranyakashipu Rajan Ajayam Acharamaram Atmanam Apratidvandvam Ekarajam Vyatishata Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Atmanam Apratidvandvam Ekarajam Vyatishata Matajis Srinaradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Ekarajam Vyatishata Sri Narada Uvacha Hiranyakashipu Rajam Ajayam Acharam Maram. Apivritvandvam Eka Rajam Yadishata Sri Narada Uvacha Hiranyakashipu Rajam Eko Rajam Vyadishata Sri Narada Uvacha Hiranyakashipu Rajam Ajayam Atmanam Atmanam Apapitvandvam Eka Rajam Vyadishata Sri Narada Uvacha Atmanam apakiridvandvam Ekaracham vajisada Sri Narada Uvacha. Narada Muni said, Hiranyakashipu, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu, Rajan, O King Yudhishthira, Ajayam, unconquerable by any enemy, Achara, without old age or disease, Amaram, immortal, Atmanam, himself, Apratitvandvam, without any rival or opponent, Ekarajam, the one king of the universe, Yadadhitsata, desired to become. Translation in purple by Divine Mr. Bhajaranada in the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Narada Muni said to Maharaj Yudhishthira, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu wanted to be unconquerable and freed from old age and dwindling of the body. He wanted to gain all the mystic yogic, all the yogic perfections like anima and lagima, to be deathless and to be the only king of the entire universe, including Brahmaloka. Please repeat. Narada Muni said to Maharaj Yudhishthira, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu wanted to become unconquerable and free from old age and dwindling of the body. He wanted to gain all yogic perfections like anima and lagima, to be deathless and to be the only king of the entire universe, including Brahmaloka. Therefore, such are the goals of the austerities performed by demons. Hiranyakashipu wanted to receive a benediction from Lord Brahma so that in the future he will be able to conquer Lord Brahma's abode. Similarly, another demon received a benediction from Lord Shiva, but later wanted to kill Lord Shiva through the same benediction. Thus, self-interested persons, by demoniac austerities, want to kill even their benedictors, whereas the Vaishnavas want to remain an ever-existing servant of the Lord and never to occupy the post of the Lord. Through Sayuja Mukti, which is generally demanded by the Asuras, one merges into the existence of the Lord. But although one sometimes thus achieves the goal of the theory of monism, one falls down again to struggle in material existence. Uma gyan timirandasha chananjanan shalakaya tachuran manitandina tasmai shri gini. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So here, Hiranyakashipu is, he wants to be a big enjoyer. So here and in this purple, Prabhupada is pointing out the difference between karmis, gyanis, and the devotees. So Hiranyakashipu is acting like a karmi. He just wants to enjoy it. But he wants to enjoy on a big scale. The gyanis, they want to get out of the material world. And the devotees, they just want service to Krishna. Within the material world or without the material world. They just want seva for Krishna. So the idea is that persons, they try to enjoy in this material world. And when they get frustrated and not be unable to enjoy fully, then they think, well, I couldn't enjoy localized, so let me become a jnani, then I'll understand I'm Brahman. Because then Brahman is all-pervading and the nature of Brahman is blissfulness. So then I'll become Brahman and I'll enjoy unlimitedly, because Brahman is unlimited. So it's the same conception as a karmi. The karmi wants to enjoy. Actually, the yogis want to enjoy also. But they want to enjoy, the jnanis want to enjoy unlimitedly, because Brahman is unlimited. So they're still carrying the same conception of enjoyment, even though they're becoming more advanced by being a jnani, but they still have the conception of enjoyment there, by enjoying unlimitedly. So the karmic wants pleasure, the yogi wants pleasure, the devotee also wants pleasure. But what is the difference? They all want pleasure. Pleasure is the goal of life. But what is the difference if they're all seeking pleasure? The difference is that the karmis and the jnanis, they're seeking their own pleasure. But the devotees, they're seeking Krishna's pleasures. Everyone is pleasure-seeking, but the devotees are seeking Krishna's pleasure. So this puts them in their constitutional position perfectly. Jivaya Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das. Servant means to please the master. So the devotees, they want to be situated in their eternal constitutional nature as the eternal servants of Krishna. So they want to enjoy, but they're serving for Krishna's enjoyment. That is their enjoyment. Krishna's pleasure becomes their pleasure. So the karmis, they follow the path of enjoyment of this world. The jnanis, they follow the path to get out of the material world. And the devotees, they follow the path to get into the spiritual world. So for the devotees, it's very direct. They go to Krishna through devotional service. The others are interested. One is interested in trying to enjoy the material world, and one is interested in trying to get out of it. But the subject matter is the same thing. It's the material world. But the devotees, they don't desire to enjoy the fruits of the world in this world, nor do they desire to get out of it. Instead, they take the path directly of devotional service. It means already they're out of it. When you're performing devotional service, you're not in the material world. So therefore, the whole process of devotional service is that the very direct process. We don't even have to worry about giving up karma or giving up jnana. We don't have time, we're too busy serving Krishna, that's the idea. We're absorbed in service to Krishna. So this is the actual happiness of the living entity. When his constitution is situated perfectly, a servant as of the lotus feet of Krishna. Otherwise, you're not going to make it happy in the material world, and you're not going to make it happy even as a jnani, as Prabhupada says here. It's that even, although one sometimes achieves the goal of the theory of monism, that means merging into the existence of the Lord, one again falls down to struggle in material existence. Why do they fall down again? Abhashuddha Buddhaya, it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even they may rise to the platform of liberation. But they fall down again because their intelligence is not purified. They still haven't come to the point of understanding that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So because they fail to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then after some time they fall from their position. Even it was a position of liberation. So the devotees have a direct process into the spiritual world, and Hiranyakashipu, he has to perform such severe austerity. Really, really austere, you know, the whole of your flesh is gone and only the skeleton is remaining. You've got your marrow in the bone and the soul goes inside the marrow inside the bone. That's Satyayuga process. So severe austerity. What for? Simply to control and enjoy the universe. But unfortunately, he doesn't make it. Why? Because Krishna is the controller and enjoyer of the universe. Bhoktaram jagatapasham sarvalokam maheshwaram. Krishna says, I'm the bhokta, I'm the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Sarvaloka, all the planets, I'm the controller. So the disease of this material world, we're trying to imitate Krishna by the more or less these two things. We're trying to control the situation so we can enjoy the situation. What situation we're making it pleasing for us, we control the situation, get all the nice things around us so we can enjoy it. So we'll get all of our paraphernalia we like, all the friends we like, and get rid of the ones we don't like, things we don't like. We control it, and now I can enjoy it. So this is Krishna's position. So in other words, the original sin, as Prabhupada said, is that we are envious of Krishna, specifically this wanting to control and enjoy. This is the original sin, enviousness of Krishna. I want to be the controller so I can enjoy. So Hiranyakashipu, at least he's doing it on a big scale, the universal scale. Nobody can imitate him as far as the whole universe. Of course, there are many universes much bigger than, according to the head, some Brahmas have 1,000 heads. That means their planet's 1,000 times bigger than the Brahma with 4 heads. So like the jnanis want to stop their activities, and the devotees want activities. They're not trying to give up activity. Devotees want activity. What is activity? How we can love Krishna, how we can serve Krishna. We want activity. Otherwise, how we can express our love for Krishna? If there's no activity, no service, how can I express my love for Krishna? So you love someone, you have to express it. You express it by service, right? The more you love, the more you serve. So the devotees, they want service. But the whole of the Vedas is teaching that this attachment, serving in the material world, is a great form of bondage. Lord Brahma said to Krishna, when he was offering his prayers, that I see here all this paraphernalia, the cows and the houses and everything here, the whole paraphernalia, and the family are there, and the children are there, and the chaos. This is usually a great symptom of attachment. Everyone is attached to their home and wife and family and children and activities. This is a form of a symptom of great attachment. This is what I'm seeing here. But actually, this is not the case. Because I see here in Vrindavan, everything is here for worshipping Krishna. Everything is here for glorifying Krishna. So even though the Vedas are saying the greatest form of bondage in this material world is attachment to friendship, society and love, here I see that same attachment to Krishna is actually liberating them. What usually binds everyone in this material world, the same thing is going on in the spiritual world, but it's liberating them because it's all used in Krishna's service. It's used for glorifying Krishna. What's the other famous verse in Bhagavatam? Yeah, attachment to friendship, society and love. This is the greatest form of bondage. But that same attachment, when it's given to the sadhu, given to the devotee, same attachment becomes the cause of liberation. Attachment to others is the source of bondage, but attachment to the lotus feet of a devotee, that is the cause of liberation. So, everything is automatically achieved when one becomes a devotee. He automatically gets liberated from material energy because he doesn't give it any attention, and he becomes happy because he's serving Krishna. Krishna's happiness is his happiness. So these are side products, like the karmis and the yogis. The devotee gets these side effects. He doesn't even want them. Bhukti and mukti, liberation and enjoyment, they're waiting here, especially in Mayapur. They're waiting here in the Dham to serve the devotees. Garanga bhaktis, we want to serve them. We want to get their blessings. Bhukti and mukti, they're waiting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the devotees don't care for them. Kick them away. Kick them away with their feet. But still they don't go. They come back again. We want to serve you. But devotees, they don't care for that. So that becomes automatically, without any extra endeavor, for the more you advance in devotional service. And automatically, bhukti mukti, if whatever you need, it will come. So, So service, devotional service, this is the constitutional nature of the living entity. This is the Dharma. Living entity is a soul. So what is the Dharma of the soul? Prabhupada describes, it's not Dharma doesn't mean like religion. Some people say my Dharma is a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim. He said that is not Dharma. Dharma means something that's eternal. I can become a Christian in the morning, a Muslim in the afternoon, and a Hindu in the evening. So these are not eternal things. So to say they're Dharma, there's so Dharma means something that's eternal, that cannot be changed. So what is the Dharma of the soul? Prabhupada gives the example. What is the Dharma of the chili? Lanka. Hot. You bite the chili if you dare. In Bengal you can do it, no problem. Used to. But if you bite the chili, it's very, very hot. But if someone gives you a chili and you bite it and it's not hot, you say it's not a chili. No, no, look, it looks like a chili. No, it's not. It's not hot. How it can be a chili? Someone says you put some sugar in your drink and it's not sweet. No, it's just like crystals, but there's no sweetness, then it's not sugar. No, it's sugar, look. If without sweetness, it's not. I'm not accepting. Dharma of the fire is heat and light. The fire is there. If you take away the light from fire, what do you get? Nothing. You can't see anything because there's no illumination. So if you touch fire and it doesn't burn you, you can understand this is not fire. The Dharma of fire is hot. It should burn. So it must be. In the moon, Prabhupada said, what does he say? He said there, he indicates his kusha grass is growing there, and and fire is there. The Prabhupada said, an educated guess, that this is cool fire. The moon planet is different from this, they have different rules. He said it's an educated guess, we can say it's a cool fire. the moon. He said, and the proof is at night time when you go out, the moon is up there, full moon tomorrow, but it's cooling. It is very, very bright, and the sun is up there, and we're sweating hot like anything. I go out in the moonshine, and it's cooling. So Prabhupada said, cool fire on the moon, but not existing here. So what is the Dharma of the soul? The soul is the real person. So what is it that cannot be separated from the soul? That is his Dharma. And Prabhupada said, what cannot be separated is seva, service. Because the soul is always active. It needs service. That is the nature of the soul. And Prabhupada said, the proof is, when the soul leaves the body, body is called dead, it's inactive. As soon as the soul is in the body, it's activity. So the activity constitutes service. Everybody is serving. Whatever you do, you are serving. Husband is serving wife, wife is serving husband. Kids are serving teacher. Teacher serving the kids. Everybody is serving. These activities all constitute seva. So that's the nature of the soul, is to be engaged in service. So now the next question is, which service? So that's Krishna's service. This is the best of all services. Bhavanam Jamanand. After being a gyanik for thousands of births, you're coming to the conclusion, Krishna is the Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma. This is the conclusion of knowledge. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The person surrenders him at that time. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyam Bhuktaram Kinchitas, what is it? Kinchitasti Dhanandaya. There's no truth superior to me. So all these evidence that Krishna is the Supreme Personality and he is the worshipful object. There is no truth superior to me, Krishna says. There are many truths in this world. Mode of goodness is the truth. Liberation is the truth. Vaikuntha is the truth. There are many levels of truths in this material world. But when you come to that truth, there is no superior truth. That is the absolute truth. And Krishna says, there is no truth superior to me. So that means Krishna is the absolute truth. So therefore service, we understand our eternal nature is to serve. Who should we serve? We'll serve that person to whom there is no superior. And that is Krishna. So then we surrender to Krishna and render service to Krishna with loving devotion. Then we are constitutionally situated perfectly. Nothing else to be achieved. We have Krishna's service. We have the association of devotees. We have the parampara, we have a guru, we have the process of initiation, and we have, this is our entrance into the spiritual world. But Bodhi is just content to serve. He doesn't need anything else. He only needs service. So, this is why Mahaprabhu came. He came to give his own service. He is Krishna. So he's come to give his own sahira. Just take it, Krishna Seva. And the best saver. Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasti Ibn. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hari Ram, Hari Ram. So the supreme, topmost personality of Godhead. And now he's giving the supreme, it's expected, when that supreme absolute truth comes here, then he's going to give the best. So he comes and he gives the best. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we can expect that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to give the best. When the governor goes to the jail on a visit, not as a prisoner, you're going on a visit, it's expected something good's going to happen for the prisoners. And he talks to the prisoners, why are you here? Oh, I couldn't get any food for my mother, my children, and my wife are hungry. I had to steal some money because otherwise they would die. And the governor says, oh, he's got a nice story there. He can be released. He can be released because... So like that, you can expect it. When the governor comes, something wonderful is going to happen. So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes, you can expect something extraordinary is going to happen. And it does. He gives the holy name, the topmost thing. He gives Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost abode. He gives the process to go. He gives the devotees. He gives everything. And yeah, so with the devotion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the bhakta avatar to show how to serve Krishna. Not only is teaching, giving us the greatest, but he's showing us how to perform devotional service. So this is Krishna as the bhakta avatar. And so we have the service. So service is not the goal. Service is simply the means by which we can express our bhakti to Krishna. We need something to express ourselves, and that is, the medium is service. Because you can serve Krishna unfavorably also. You can serve Krishna favorably, you can serve Krishna unfavorably. You have a choice. So service means you can express your love for Krishna through your service. And how you do it and how I do it, that's up to each individual, how you express your love. But you're being given the opportunity to express your love for Krishna through service. Some will do with more love and some will do with less love. But you can be the one who does with more love. It's up to you. So you be that one. This is the gift. Mahaprabhu and Krishna have come to give their service. How you use it, you show you how much we love. So the guru is representative of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mentioning in the Adibhash that the guru is representing Krishna. He's representing Krishna who's come to give bhakti, Krishna prema, and he's representing Gauranga who's come to teach the path of bhakti. So this is the idea. So we get the service. Now that service should be performed together with great enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is the main thing in spiritual life. In the spiritual world, everybody is very much enthused to serve. Expand the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Serving together. It's a Samkirtan movement. It means congregational means together, we should all be serving together with one goal in life, one goal in mind, and execute that service very enthusiastically, with great enthusiasm. So, when we do that, when we're serving together with one goal, that is the satisfaction of Krishna, and we're all happy, we have the same mentality, and we're all serving together to expand the pleasure of Radha Madhava Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to expand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his desire. That is actually the closest thing you can get to the spiritual world. Because that's what's going on in the spiritual world. All together they're serving, they're making, arranging pastimes to unite Radha and Krishna, or making pastimes to separate Radha and Krishna, whatever. But still, this is the idea. That's what goes on in the spiritual world. It's not just one person doing his service to Krishna. It's all group work. Radha, Krishna, Asta Shakis, they're always surrounded by the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva. They're always surrounded by his devotees. We're not, Jnani is, it means the lone path or Jnana, the ice cold Jnana, the path of the lone. You said, but in bhakti is different. We all work together with that same one intention. And then that, you can't get closer to the spiritual world than that. That's what they're doing all the time there. So, this is what we were witnessing. Holiness Jai Pataka Maharaj on his Vyas Puja Day, he was mentioning it. This and so I was seeing all the Vyas Puja Day, all the disciples were there, everyone was offering the homages. I thought, this is Jai Pataka Maharaj, he's introduced this facility to all come together and serve. You've got your Namhat. What is Namhat? It's a group. You've got your Bhakti Brikshas. What is it? It's a group. You've got your tribal. What is it? It's a group. Now, what we're going on it right now, what's it called? The ICS or something? I can't remember what the initials. But it's the meeting of all the leaders. There's a group. It's all group work. ILS, yeah, it's going on now. This morning they read all the participants. I thought it'd never stop. So many leaders are there. So this is the spiritual realm. There are group leaders. Guru is there. He's obviously the leader. Our leader. Is our leader here? Is our leader there? The relationship is eternal. There the guru is there. In this material world, the relationship is based on reverential. We should always approach the guru in a reverential mood. Should not be familiar with the guru. He's the representative of the personality of God. But in the spiritual world, it's not like that. The hierarchy is there, but the relationship is based on loving friendship. They're recognizing the hierarchy is there. They have their leaders. Everybody has their leaders. But it's all based that on loving friendship in their service to Radha and Krishna. This is their attitude. All this attitude we can create here also. So many leaders are there. Radharani is a great leader. Greatest. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pravita Bi Tabija Ivanija Rupa Taya Talabi Goloko Iva Nivasakya Atma Bhuto Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham. Radharani, she is that. The main object of Krishna's pleasure. and to expand Krishna's pleasure, then she expands into unlimited other gopis. This is the verse from Brahma Samhita. She expands unlimitedly with all different qualities and different traits, so Krishna will always have new experiences. Variety is the spice of life. So unlimited, everyone has their leader. You have to have a leader. Prabhupada will be there, he will be the leader. There will be, under him will be his disciples, but they're also leaders. Lalita, Vishakadevi, Induleka, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Champakachishudevi. They're all leaders in themselves. Also, they also have groups. But they choose to serve Radharani because they think if we can please Radharani, Krishna would definitely be pleased. Krishna is the sole attention, the sole object of attainment. But they choose to serve Radharani to get Krishna's favor quickly. So they choose to assist Radharani in her group because they'll get Krishna's favor more quickly. But there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions of groups. And they're all working together as groups. Within the groups, we have a group. Here you have like a Bhakti Pariksha group. You're forming it's a group. And there's a leader. And then then he has many other followers of Bhakti Pariksha are coming. So then he makes them into leaders also. They expand out. So you have leaders and then leaders in group and different. Like now you have all the group leaders here in this ICS meeting. But to expand their missions, they're all varieties of different devotional service they're performing and getting out in different directions. So they have others also who go out and execute the actual, they make the plans, they're the leaders, they make the plans. Then they have others who execute their plans, who in turn also become leaders for others. So the idea is that this group togetherness is always there in spiritual life. It's the main thing. And that generates enthusiasm. And in this way, progress gets very quickly. Just like in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada was the only leader who we knew. Of course, Rupa Goswami and others, we know they're also our leaders, we're Rupa Nuts. And we completely accepted the authority of the leader, Prabhupada. Do this, they did it. In loving friendship. The devotees would go out and do something. He would give an order to do something. Okay, then they would get other people, so as a group, and they would execute the order. What with great enthusiasm, this is simply accepting the authority of Prabhupada. If the authority is taken away, everything collapses. In the Vedic system, if you don't have authority or you disrespect the authority, everything will collapse. So it wasn't like that when Prabhupada was. But there was a time when we saw that the authority wasn't being followed so much, and then everything actually did collapse for some time in the 1980s, something like that, 90s. So this is the... If we can, we have this attitude, devotional attitude. This is everything we need. We follow authority, we execute it together with the devotees enthusiastically. Then we can achieve so many miracles, just like in Prabhupada. Yeah, so many miracles were achieved. And attitude is most important because form form is given to suit the attitude. First you have the attitude, then you'll be given a form. So attitude is more important than form. So this is the attitude that they have in the spiritual world. So if we imitate that, or we follow in that footsteps of that, then that's the closest thing you can get to the spiritual world while we're in the material world. You actually, you're not in the material world. You get the attitude, and all then you need a form to go with the attitude. Then you get the... Prabhupada said that your mental condition at the time of leaving your body will determine your next body. It's all up to the mental condition you have right now. That will determine your next body. So like that, you have the attitude, the proper devotional attitude, with cooperation, etc., then that will determine your next body. So attitude is, the body is awarded according to the attitude that you develop. So therefore, attitude is so important in spiritual life. It's more important that the development of attitude is more important than development of form. So, anyway, I was seeing thousands and thousands of devoted disciples of Jayavardhaka Maharaj, and I was thinking like that. There were all different groups there, and there were hundreds of little groups. They were, and groups within groups. But this is what the Acharya does. He comes and he gives us an opportunity for this seva. Here is the seva. Now how you execute it. You become enthusiastic and execute it properly. So this is the saving grace. He's come to give freely. Mahaprabhu has come to give freely. But how we take it and how we execute, it's up to each individual. How the attitude we develop, it's up to each individual. Jaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you. ICS breakfast is at 8:45. I'm sorry, a little bit late. 10 minutes. Hare Krishna. Any comment, question? Thank you, Prabhupada ki jai.